we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Up, up and away. That's my theme song today, because I'm going to be flying to California to attend our general council. And so you pray for California and you pray for me. So we're going to be doing a couple of things I've never done before. I've never done a red eye flight, but I'm doing that a little bit later this week. And it's, like I said, it's been a long time since I've been to California. I was 6 months old when my parents took me there. I'm sure it's changed a little in the past decades. But I'm looking forward to trying an In-N-Out burger. Never had one of those, and I hear great reports about them. And some friends of mine have been telling me great restaurants to try. And so we're going to see what California is like out there. I'm sure that the traffic is just a little bit intense. Anyway, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we would love to have you come and worship with us at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We are pretty much right at the heart of Merritt Island there. The two main thoroughfares are State Road 3, which is Courtney Parkway, and 520. We're pretty much in that geographic region there. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, the corner of Grove and Tangerine. So if you have an opportunity, we would love to invite you to come and worship with us. So let's say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need someone to come out and fix your air conditioner, I know I was talking to someone, actually I've been talking to several different people whose air conditioner had broken twice in a very short period of time, different problems each time. And so when it is hot outside, your AC is working harder. I'm sure you've noticed that with your higher electric bills. And so if you need somebody to come out and take a look at your unit, give Bill Andrike a call at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. And if you'd like to talk to him about Jesus, he can do that as well. 321-759-3284. If you're in Central Brevard County, he can get you fixed up. So last Friday, we talked about the joy that came to a city because persecution came to Jerusalem. And today we are going to be in Acts, the 13th chapter. It's a long chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read a pretty substantial portion today so that you get the idea of where we're going here with this study. It says in Acts chapter 13, "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, 'Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.' Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. And after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, and which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another Psalm, You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophet come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue to the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Let me reread verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So in this city that we're talking about here in Antioch in Pisidia, Paul has the opportunity to preach the gospel. In verse number 13, it says he was invited to exhort the people. That means to teach the people. And as Paul did, he started at a place that there was no dispute. He started where they were with the word of God that they understood. And so one of the things that I tell our congregation is if you're going to be sharing the good news with somebody, you've got to know where they're at. If you just go starting to preach the gospel to them and you don't know if they've ever heard of the Bible, if you don't know if they've ever had the opportunity to receive before, if you don't know what has gone on, if you don't know them, then you're just going to start in on a method that you know. But I will tell you, the people that I pay most attention to in my life are people that I have relationship with. They know where I come from. They know where I'm at. And so when I'm communicating, I communicate in such a manner as to find out where people are. So when I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, a lot of times I don't know if visitors that have come in, I don't know what background they have. I don't know if they own a Bible, have ever read a Bible. I don't know if they have a Bible that they brought with them. I don't know if they know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so if I begin to say, turn to the gospel of so-and-so, then I will tell them, you know, things like, okay, this is in the Old Testament. It's towards the back of the Old Testament. If you can find the New Testament where the book of Matthew is, you know, like here a few weeks ago, I was preaching out of one of the minor prophets. I said, so you're going to turn to the left. You're going to pass Malachi. You're going to pass Zechariah. You're going to pass a couple of books later, Zephaniah. And then you're going to be pretty close. That's where I want you to turn today. And then we're going to turn to the fourth chapter. You're going to see various chapter designations with big numbers in your Bible. And then we're going to look and identify a verse that is there. You've got to find out where your congregation, where your audience that you're speaking to is. So he was invited to teach to the people. I made a note here as I was reading through Acts chapter 13. And I wanted to talk to you about it because there are a lot of people who say that God is a loving God. He is. God is love. But then they extrapolate that, not knowing the Bible, that God says his wrath is equal to his mercy. They don't realize that God tells over and over again that there is a time of judgment and accountability that is coming. They don't realize that Jesus is the one that teaches about a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. They don't realize that there is a place where people are going to be commissioned to go, that there is weeping and wailing and a gnashing of teeth. It is a place of great suffering and great darkness and offensive in every way, a place that you were never intended to go to. And people will respond much like this. I cannot believe that a loving God would ever send me to a place like that. I can't believe that a loving God would ever send anyone someplace like that. I had a person that told me that one time, and they said, I would never blow up a relationship, not in a literal sense, but I would never destroy a relationship because what they were saying is at that point in time is I have a greater capacity to love than God does. In actuality, they did exactly that. They made some choices and they made some priorities and there were some things that they decided that they valued more than the relationships that they had in their family. And it always makes me sad when people do that. But I want you to understand that if you say that all it takes to get into heaven is that you're a good person, then you need to realize what this verse said. Verse 46 said, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves worthy of or unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. And so please understand that Paul had made it very clear in his message that Jesus had died and was resurrected so that people could be forgiven of their sins, a manner in which they could have never received forgiveness before. Paul is preaching this primarily to Jews, but there are some Gentiles there. And he says, if you reject this message, you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, and you stand condemned already. Not because God wants you condemned, he wants you forgiven. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance and to everlasting life. But he said, if you judge yourselves unworthy, if you reject this good news, then we're gonna turn to people who will be more than glad to hear it. And so they said that they turned to the Gentiles. And verse number 48, it says that the Gentiles, when they heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. I want to drop back to verse number 43. There's one more note there. It said that when Paul got done ministering at that first message, that he encouraged the audience that he was preaching to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. Don't just begin in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. The grace of God, the scripture makes it clear that it manifests evidence. Paul and Barnabas, it was said, I think primarily of Barnabas, that when he came to Antioch, a different Antioch, he saw evidence of the grace of God. So grace is not just a philosophy that you embrace. It is not just a theological topic that you discuss. Grace manifests evidence, and it manifests it in a transformed life where you are no longer doing the things that you used to do. You have embraced the grace of God, the Word of God, the Son of God. You've embraced the body of Christ, and you are saying, you know what? Now I'm living by the grace of God. So, in verse 44, we find out that when the next week came, that almost the entire city came together to hear the word of the Lord. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Not to a large segment of that population. They became envious because they saw the size of the crowds. And I want you to know, we are not the largest church in town. But I'm also not jealous of the largest churches in town. You see, they're not my competition. So if you're worshiping at one of the other churches, praise God, glory, hallelujah. As long as it's a Bible preaching church that is equipping you to do the work of the ministry, so that you can grow in your faith and that you can produce the fruit of the Spirit. I'm ecstatic. You know what? I have a feeling that we have a lot more people who sit under the ministry of Merit Assembly of God than the 50 to 60 that show up on a Sunday morning. Sometimes more, sometimes less. It just depends on the vacation schedule and how many people are out of town and how many people are sick and all of that sort of stuff. But there are some people who get they get a distorted perspective on the size of the crowds. I heard a mission field that had a philosophy that whenever their churches shrunk, they thought that that was an indication that they were fulfilling the end time apostasy or the falling away from the faith. And so they began to rejoice whenever their crowds got smaller. And I want you to know that's distorted. When the sun came up in the east this morning, it was because God wanted people to have an opportunity to accept him as Lord and Savior of their life. It wasn't about how much money you could make. It wasn't about any of all that. It was about the kingdom of God. As far as I can tell, the one thing that is very crucial to the return of Christ is that the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth. That means that there are people who are very motivated to share the gospel. So these people became envious of the crowds, and they began to rise up in opposition. And that's when Paul said to them, because you've judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we're going to go to the Gentiles. And when that happened, there was a revival that began to take place among the Gentiles. Verse 48, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And so that means, to me, that means that everybody that was there, see, I believe this, God has a destination for you in mind, and that is an eternity with him in heaven, worshiping around the throne with the entire body of Christ. I believe that that is my destination, your destination, the destination of all your, that's God's preferred destination. But if you choose to get off of the road, if you choose to do your own thing and pursue your own path, it doesn't mean that you are going to end up at the same place. Okay? I'm going to show you a difference here in this passage from the way that certain religions respond if you reject their faith, as opposed to the way that Christians respond. Okay? And so when revival begins to break out amongst the Gentiles, you need to be prepared for this, that when wonderful things are taking place spiritually, not everybody is going to be thrilled with it. Not everybody is going to be excited about it. There are going to be some people who are upset about it. You see, because as a church grows, then all of a sudden, if you've been entrenched and it's been kind of your own little domain for a long, long time, then I actually had a pastor that told me this. He said, I pastored this very small church and they just refused to change. And so what I did is I started going out into the community and winning people to Jesus. And there was a certain point in time where there were so many visitors that had come in that the people who had pretty much been obstructing growth all of that time, they got upset. And they said, look, this was the church that we built. None of these people built this church. And it was, you know, a church is not supposed to be a family memorial. It's supposed to be a salvation station and a spiritual hospital where people are born again into faith. And so persecution begins to break out in verse number 50. It says that the prominent and the devout people of the city, the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. But Jesus had already told people what to do if that happened. Verse number 51, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. In other words, they said, look, if you don't want us preaching the gospel here, we're just going to go someplace else and preach it. And it said, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing the number of times that the concept of joy and Holy Spirit are linked together in the scripture. Okay? It doesn't say that the fruit of the Spirit is murmuring and complaining. It doesn't say that the fruit of the Spirit is misery. It doesn't talk about it, the fruit of the Spirit being anger. All of those things are the works of the flesh that are listed in Galatians chapter 5 leading up to that. But Jesus had said, blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and do all manner of evil against you. And so we're not supposed to retaliate against that. We're not supposed to say, well, because you have rejected our faith, it is our responsibility to just wipe you off of the face of the earth. That's what some faiths do, but that's not what Christianity does. Christianity says, look, we wanted to present the message to you. You get to choose to accept it or to reject it. If you reject it, you know, you've judged yourself unworthy of eternal life. If you accept it, you're getting ready to see a quality of life like you've never seen before. And so he said, you just shake the dust off. You just say, you know what? We are going to move on from here. And so why did in Acts chapter 4 the church begin to rejoice because the disciples had been threatened and persecuted because of their proclamation of the gospel? Why did the church and the disciples, why were they filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit when they had just been persecuted and expelled from a region? It was because they knew that they were doing what God had called them to do, and they couldn't hold on to the rejection and minister effectively the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I will tell you this. Paul was standing there when his name was still Saul, when Stephen preached the gospel. And even though he was there consenting to Stephen's death, and even though he persecuted, in Acts chapter 9, he has an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, and he becomes a radical believer in Jesus Christ. One of the boldest believers you will ever see in your life. And just because someone clings to a worthless idol today and forfeits the grace that could be theirs today, it doesn't mean that God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as he convicts people of their sin, that they're not going to be willing to accept him tomorrow. You see, I had a person, I went and I visited their house, and it was a beautiful house. It was a brand new house. We were still living in deplorable conditions at the time. And as I went into their house, it was like, wow, this is a nice house. God has really blessed you. And the person said, wait a minute, this is my house. And in my house, you don't talk to me about God and you don't talk about church. I said, fair enough. Fair enough. And so we moved on. They rejected what I had to say. But let me tell you what happened when their world fell apart. When their world fell apart, they found that there was a Savior who was there, who could put their lives back together again. And they got saved. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They started attending church. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they got actively involved in ministry. I want to encourage you today, don't give up. If you're praying for people and they're stubbornly refusing to accept Jesus Christ, you keep living the life. Shake off the rejection. Rejoice that you had the opportunity to share the good news with them, and trust God that the seeds that you've planted, that he is the Lord of the harvest, and he will bring those seeds to fruitfulness. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an ocean.